It is good to be gathered here this evening. We've come for many different reasons. We don't often gather together in the evening, and on this day, we come to consider our mortality, and we come, most of all, to begin our Lenten journey together. Thank you for being a part of this evening. Let us join together in our call to worship. If God threw a party, if God hosted a dinner,
there would be a seat saved for each of us.
If God prepared a banquet,
the cheer would go up when you arrived.
This is the good news. God is throwing a party. God is hosting a dinner. God is preparing a banquet, and all are invited. Let us worship together our invitational God. And I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing our opening hymn, number 739, Oh for a Closer Walk. Let us pray together our prayer for transformation and new life. Gracious God, you invite all of us to your table, the faithful and the doubting, the restless and the hopeless, the addicted and the lonely, the lost and the confused. You invite all of us, regardless of who we are or where we've been, but we fail to do the same. When given the opportunity, we are guilty of casting judgment on our neighbors. We draw lines, assume the worst, create cliques, and accept exclusion. Forgive our harmful ways. This Lent, show us how to love others the way you love us. With hope we pray. Amen. Friends, no matter how many times we mess up, no matter how many times we lose our way, no matter how many times we decline God's invitation, God will never stop inviting us to the table. There is and always will be a seat saved for you. And so let us join together in these new words. We are forgiven again and again. We are invited again and again. We are loved from beginning to end. Thanks be to God, our inviter. Amen. Can I just say something about the scripture real quick? I just wanted to give a little bit of background about this selection that BJ is going to read for us. This comes from the book of Luke, and right before we start into what BJ is going to read, Jesus has been invited to a dinner party hosted by a leader of the Pharisees. And the scripture says that, and all eyes were watching Jesus because they were waiting to see what he was going to do, if he was going to slip up, if he was going to go against the rules. And that is where we are. Thank you.
This evening's reading is from Luke 14, 15 through 24. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" This is a reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My message for tonight took a lot of twists and turns as the day went on, because this was quite a busy Ash Wednesday for me, the busiest that I ever experienced. And I have to say, it occurred to me that this is probably the only day a year when a pastor or priest's hands look more like the hands of a mechanic. Because I have washed my hands so many times today, more than I did during the height of the COVID pandemic. But they're never going to come clean. I don't think so. And they started getting ashy very early this morning, much earlier than I expected, because we have our adult dance group at the library, and we start at 8 a.m. And this is Western Pennsylvania, and most of the people who dance are Catholic or Presbyterian. That's just the way it is. But we have a few Buddhists, and we have some one Hindi woman who is just absolutely lovely. And today, she brought a cake from Oakmont Bakery for everyone to share. And about 15, 20 people turned and looked at me. And one woman said, "Are we allowed to eat that today? It's Ash Wednesday." And I assured them it would be a wonderful expression of joy and hospitality to eat of the Oakmont Bakery cake on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday morning. And they did. And then, though, one woman said, sort of kiddingly, but not really, she said, "Can you give us ashes?" And I said, "Sure, if you want." And so in groups of one or two, or we went into another part of the library, and I had my ashes, and I heard so many beautiful stories from these individuals. It turned out that 18 folks came up and got ashes. And then they went off back to the dancing. Now, some people might think that was a little bit strange or even blasphemous to dance, to eat cake, to celebrate, and then right alongside this celebration and joy to engage in this somber ritual of having ashes imposed on their foreheads. It might be like hearing the passage that BJ read this evening. The Lenten journey starts with this story from Luke, Jesus at a party telling a parable about a party, and our call to worship was all God is throwing a party. It doesn't seem to fit on what is traditionally a somber evening, yes, when we're called to consider our mortality, and we're called, as many pastors and priests say when they impose ashes, turn away from sin and return to the God who loves you. Now, I don't know about you, though. And I remember when I was here with you last year, I said, I don't think any of us here doesn't consider our mortality. I consider my mortality quite a bit, especially now as I'm getting older. And I ask for forgiveness multiple times a day, every day, because I know I'm always in constant need of change and reformation. And at the same time, though, and this is what we often forget, the reason why we want to change, to turn around and return to the God who loves us, is because being in communion with God, being in communion with God's people, it is a party. It is a celebration. And we feel that, don't we? Don't we feel much better, more ourselves, when we are experiencing a closeness to God and a closeness to others? When we are close to God, that's when we feel like dancing. And that's when we feel like we are home. And this Pharisee who proclaims, "Blessed is anyone who will eat the bread of the kingdom," he's right, but he doesn't know the half of it. Because when he said anyone is blessed, his definition of anyone, knowing what we know, the Pharisees, the way they're portrayed in the scripture, it wasn't as expansive and broad as God's definition. God's guest list includes anyone and everyone, and you make that list, my beloved. No matter what you've done, no matter what I've done, what we've done in the past, what we've left undone, we are invited. We all are. And we might say to ourselves, yes, yes, Jesus loves me, this I know, the unconditional love of God. But I don't know if we believe it some of the time. And I don't know if we believe it most of the time. Because I've heard people say, and I've said, I hope God will let me in when talking about heaven. And I've heard people say, and I've said, if you knew half the things I've done. And I think many people feel that way. What I found out this year was that Ash Wednesday is one of the most attended church services of the Christian year. And there are all kinds of theories as to why. But the one that I buy into is the one that suggests it's because most people think that they are not worthy of being invited. They still don't think that they are a part of God's banquet of love. I must have ended up putting ashes on the heads of more than 100 people today. It was a holy honor. And not everybody told me a story, or I'd still be at Fair Oaks putting ashes on the staff and everybody, from the owner to people in housekeeping, when they heard that the chaplain was here and was giving out ashes, whether they attended church or not. People wanted this sign. This sign. And so tonight, when we remember our transgressions, let us also remember that we are still a member of the kingdom, the party of God, the table that doesn't have seating limits. And when I put the ashes on your forehead, you may remember this from last year, what I don't say is, you came from dust and you'll return to dust. There's nothing wrong with saying that. That is absolutely true. It's scripture. It's true. But dust is something that we come to think of as something we need to get rid of. At least some people, because I don't dust. But dust gives allergies. Dust gets in the way. But the truth about the kind of dust that we are made from is sacred stardust. And we will say, you came from God's sacred stardust, and to that stardust you will return. That same stardust that God used to create Jesus of Nazareth. And so this Lenten season, this Lenten journey, as we have all these churchy words, remember why we so badly want to reconnect with our God. Because we are a part of our God and came from our God and will return to our loving God. And Jesus the Christ shows us the way. Amen.
Well said, preacher. Well said. Thank you. Jesus calls the weary to himself. He does not call the self-sufficient, nor those with the proper religious credentials or perfect people. Well, he would call those people, but they don't exist. So he calls us. He calls those who are exhausted from toil, from just getting through the day. He calls those who are burdened with heavy loads, those weighed down by sin and sorrow. It is these, not the confident and successful, to whom Jesus says, come to me. Jesus calls us imperfect people. People who snap at those that they love after a long day at work. Those who battle addictions. People who wish they were someone else. Ones who struggle, wrestle, and repent, and then fall back into it again. Read a story about a woman who went to an Ash Wednesday service. It was at an Episcopal church. If you would know that Methodists and Episcopals and others have an altar rail, so you come down and you kneel at the altar, and the priest comes by with the ashes, makes a sign of the cross on the forehead. From dust you have come, and to dust you shall return. The writer of the story said that she was next to a young girl, a preteen, maybe 10, 11, 12 years old, And after she received the ashes on her forehead, she whispered to her mother, who was on the other side of her. She said in a whisper that the writer, she could hear it anyway. She said, "Does my ash look all right?" Still kneeling, the writer said she started to laugh. Because, of course, it didn't look all right. She had a large black smudge in the middle of her forehead. There is no way for that to look right. She goes on to write, "I also laughed because I heard my own heart in her question. I know I'm limited. I know I'm dust and returning to dust. I bear vulnerability, weariness, and mortality. I bear sin, selfishness, and struggle. But I still want to, you know, look okay. I want to pretend that I'm still all right. I have it together. It's a well-practiced facade." She says, "I'm still a 10-year-old girl with a big black smudge on my face, hoping to somehow pass as acceptably cool. But there's good news here as we gather this night. The good news of Jesus is not that we get a merit badge for being put together and hope that God ignores our failures. We serve God not only with our strengths, but also in our weaknesses. Is that wonderful? We serve God also in our weaknesses. We serve God in all that we are because God takes us and makes that possible. We are all losers, and we are all going to die. But Sunday is coming. Easter is coming, and we will all be made alive, and we will be like Him. So we come to acknowledge who we are. We can be honest with you, with each other and God's family, can't we? Can't we? Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to pretend that we're good, better, put together, perfect. We don't have to have the perfect body, the perfect family, the perfect house, the perfect job. None of us has to have any of that. We just come as we are, just as we are. And we are welcomed into the family. You and I welcome each other just as we are, just as God welcomes us. And so we are bold to make our confessions. I will mention a few of these. And when I say, "Lord, have mercy," your response will be, "Have mercy on us, O Lord." Can we do that now? Lord, have mercy.
Have
mercy on us, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We have not loved you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy on us.
Well, God, have mercy on us because we have not loved our neighbor as ourself. We've been too busy. We've been too unconnected. We've been too much in a rush. And we don't even like all of our neighbors. Lord, we have failed to love our neighbor as ourself. Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy because our voice, our language, the words that we say have so often been unkind. We have hurt people by what we have said, and we have meant to hurt them. We have said things that we wish we had not said and we wish we could take back, but it was said and it was done. Our language has not given you honor and glory. It has not lifted up others among us. Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy on us, God.
Lord, have mercy. We are fearful that there will not be enough. That there will not be enough for us. That our tables will suddenly become barren. That our bank accounts will become empty. And so we have held on to things that we should have given away because we did not trust that you would refill and renew our lives. Forgive us for being stingy and holding back. Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy on us.
God, who has promised a great promise, is with us tonight. If you will confess your sins, God is able and willing and eager to forgive all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us new. Tonight, we have confessed our sins. Tonight and always, we will be new in Christ.
You're invited to sing together hymn number 433, verses 1, 4, and 5, as you make your way forward if you would like to receive ashes this evening. Let us sing together our hymn of meditation, Take Time to Be Holy. Please be seated, and the ushers will come forward to collect this evening's offering. Communion hymn. You may rise in body or spirit, please, and sing verses 1 and 2 of Come Behold the Feast of Heaven.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Beloved, our God has set the table before us with bread and wine and offered the gift of holy presence to be among us. Like that first supper, we bring uncertainty of our future, the heaviness of the world, and the hope that following Jesus makes a difference. Whatever you carry or hold, know that this table has a place for you, all of us, to be who we are and hope for what we hope to be. Welcome to the hospitality of the one who was and is to come. So would you repeat these two sentences, three sentences with me? I will give two or three words and you will respond. We accept the invitation.
We accept the invitation.
To commune with Jesus. And one another.
And one another.
As a community of God's people.
As a community of God's people.
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy,
holy. Is our Redeemer. Brother and friend.
Brother.
Who lives and reigns. Blessed is our God who comes to us. Amen. So we hear again. On the night of betrayal, desertion, and despair, Jesus gathered with disciples for a meal. Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Eat this bread in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks for it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant. Drink this cup in remembrance of me." As we receive the bread and the cup, we proclaim that Christ lived and died. Christ rose and lived. Christ lives and will come again. Let us pray. Oh God, this table has been spread with your divine mercy and favor, creation's bounty, and human effort. Send now your Holy Spirit to bless and consecrate these gifts as you bless and sanctify your people who gather among you this night. Restore to us the joy of salvation and the sacredness of our lives in spirit and in truth. Bless this feast as we dine with you, Creator Christ and Holy Spirit. Amen.
closing in together verses 1 and 3 of the Lord throughout these 40 days. Charge for all Lent, many of the Sundays we'll be together. As you leave this place, when you meet anger, speak with love. When you meet fear, speak with hope. When you meet pain, speak with gentleness. But no matter what, speak this good news. For the good news of the gospel is love and justice for all. It is joy that surprises, and nonviolence that transforms. The good news of the gospel is alive in the world. So go forth speaking, for if you won't, then who will? Thanks be to God for this good news. And may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, and all those whom you love, and all those whom no one loves, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.
Amen.